Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This is Believe in Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
...53.5-yard drive near hash, kick right, snap, hold, kick is away, it's reaching, and it is good, 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 Hot Pod does it, all right, Hot Pod!
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open, touchdown, Israel 2!
Welcome in. It is the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Also coming to you on the video stream from Brinks TV right here on YouTube. Joining me as always, the man from the intro catching the touchdown pass. It is my man, Israel Troop. Israel, what's up?
What's going on, brother?
It's another day, another episode, man. And Georgia looks as good as ever. We got an action-packed show. I can't wait to get into this, but we are presented by betonline.ag. It is the number one spot for all college and pro football action this season with new updated site and interface and even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. So don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Israel, I saw this graphic from BetOnline. It was very, very interesting. There is about 10 coaches that they have bettable odds on to be the next head coach at USC. Who do you think at 6-1? 6-1 is the closest odds, or I guess he's the favorite at 6-1. Mm-hmm. Who do you think that is at 6-1?
I keep hearing Bob Stoops' name being thrown around.
He's 9-1.
Ooh.
9-1.
So
there is a 6-1. Franklin is 8-1. So there's 6-1, 7-1, 8-1. There's 3 9-1s, 3 10-1s, and a 14-1.
I don't know who that 6-1 is then.
What are some things that you can do on the water? That's my hint.
That you can do on the water.
Huh. You know somebody that played in this program.
And Hugh Freeze?
No, not Freeze. One of your guys you coached, he just got drafted this year.
One of the guys I coached just got drafted. I'm at a loss.
Rashad Bateman.
Oh, Row the Boat. Ah.
Water Sports, okay. PJ Fleck. Man, I'm two PJ for two
Fleck.
On this.
I got PJ Fleck, you. 61. I got you.
That'd be funny if they hired
I
him.
I got you. Hey, it'll change the mentality down there, I'm telling you.
Okay. You're a believer. I'm not so sure that I quite buy in, but maybe if he gets this job and becomes successful, maybe I will. So, but like I said, it's an action-packed show. Lots of exciting games in week 3. Bama, they do bleed. They are human, which is good to see. I thought they were just a bunch of robots playing football and just kind of going through the motions and destroying everybody. But first things first, man, how was the atmosphere in Athens? I know you were there on hand for the Georgia South Carolina game.
Man, it was awesome. Me and my wife sat about 10 rows up on the home side. You know, I've never, you know, being a former player, you know, seeing Auburn, seeing the blackout and things like that. But on Saturday, I've never seen that many people in the stadium. It was loud. It was electric. When we left, I mean, it's just the streets flooded in red and black. I mean, it was awesome. It was a great time to be a dog last Saturday night.
Absolutely. It looked fun. It sounded fun on TV. It just sounded like everybody was excited to finally be back in a packed stadium.
Man, it was great. You know, it was great atmosphere. I mean, just hearing the trumpet, you know, I hadn't heard the trumpet in the last couple of years, you know, hearing them before the game, hearing the introduction, seeing the band come out, the big Georgia flags. I mean, you know, brought chills, you know, to me. And I played there and I was able to see it, you know, firsthand again, because it's been a while. I mean, it was awesome.
And you saw live the light up Sanford Stadium fourth quarter tradition.
Yes, I did. I mean, that thing is awesome.
Yeah.
I think the Jumbotron's huge now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got the bass in that thing is absolutely amazing. And whoever's DJing did a wonderful job, you know, keeping the crowd enthused. The announcers are always great there. So, I mean, it was a great time to be in Athens, Georgia last Saturday.
Man, Josh Brooks has really kind of changed that atmosphere. I mean, I think since he took over, there's some things that have happened in that stadium that I've heard that are outstanding, and the music is one of them. So it's good to see that the atmosphere was really, really good, really electric, because South Carolina was a team with some of those deep passes they were hitting. It could have taken our fans right out of the game, but it didn't. And judging from that atmosphere, it looked like our guys really, and I don't want to say this is rare, but like sometimes like our guys just don't seem to be in it. Wasn't the case this week. I mean, JT Daniels was throwing dimes, looked probably the best I've seen him look since he's been in a Georgia uniform. Really accurate. Aside from that one really bad interception he threw, I thought he had a brilliant night. He had command of the offense. He was making throws, decisive throws, putting it on the money. I mean, hitting different receivers, multiple receivers. A.D. Mitchell got rolling, and just all around good night for this offense.
Man, seeing them up, you know, I watch them on TV all the time, you know, because we're football coaches, so we can't really up and leave like we want to get to a game. But seeing these guys in person, seeing how big they are, seeing how physical they are, was absolutely a treat to see. And then one thing that Georgia did well this week is they tempo. Every time they got a first down, they tempo. That's how we were able to hit Burton on the first touchdown of the game. I guess that would be the second touchdown of the game. Cook did a great job running the football. Zeus did a good job. I mean, everything was clicking. You know, that one interception, you know, even with Stetson Bennett's interception, right read, just a bad throw. You know, sometimes those things happen. You know, so, I mean, the execution part, you know, the whole night was absolutely amazing. Watching them getting in and out of huddle, getting the signals, you know, even JT, you know, you can see he was getting, you know, a little agitated if it came in slow because he saw what he wanted to run it now. You know, when you got command of the offense, you kind of know what's going on. I mean, it's time, let's play ball, let's go. Watching them and watching how fast, I mean, just watching how big and fast that they're playing. You know, it was good to see Carius Jackson back out there doing some things. I mean, We're in good hands right now.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I'm here for it. And, you know, just all around the playmaking, the overall aggressive. I texted with you just a little bit. I knew you probably wouldn't be able to get most of them because it's hard to get text inside the stadium. But I would just the first thing that popped into my mind is, man, I love this aggressiveness. I love the tempo. I love the pace in which we're playing. It's not huddle up, ground and pound. It's we're going to run the ball still, and we're going to try to run it down your throat, but we're going to do it with tempo, and then we're going to take shots deep. And I thought the game plan was phenomenal. And South Carolina, man, I was, you know, yeah, they're a couple years away personnel-wise from really having a good team, but their mentality, their culture there is really good. Shane Beamer's doing a tremendous job getting those guys to play hard, getting those guys in position to make plays. Their offensive line is just not there yet. And our defense kind of makes people look that way. So I can't really hold that against South Carolina too much, but they played hard till the final whistle. Josh Van was somebody I was really impressed with on the South Carolina side. I thought he was a really good receiver, played the ball really well in the air, ran good routes. And, you know, he made Amir Speed look silly on a few plays. And that was, you know, if you're a South Carolina fan, I'm encouraged that A, Luke Doty looked pretty good, pretty solid, and B, Josh Van looked, you know, you do have the ability to push the ball down the field. So if I'm a South Carolina fan, I'm resting a little easier now.
Exactly. I'm encouraged with South Carolina. I mean, every team on the east side is about to be really, really good coming up soon. One thing I was really impressed with, you know, I've been seeing it. Them guys played hard all four quarters. It didn't matter how much they were down by. You know, those guys were still trying to make plays. Like you said, Shea Bieber's doing a great job over there. You can tell. I saw a graphic today. I think they gave up a long touchdown, and the corner was, you know, he had his head down. And you see those guys come up and change his body language. Mm-hmm. You know, last year that wasn't happening. They were head down, you know, soaking everything. But you can see the mentality's changing over there. And that's what you want to see. You know, you don't want to see a loss. You know, and we try not to harp on moral victories. But at the same time, when you got your team out there, knowing that they're undermatched and they're going out there giving 100%, that's what you want to see. The one thing that I was, you know, kind of disappointed in is that they didn't use a tight end very much. And that's one thing that South Carolina's done well these first two games is they use the tight end. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they have receivers, you know, getting open and things like that. But you're going to – if you got good tight ends, you got to use them. And that's what I saw Georgia do. Georgia uses the tight end, whether it's run, whether it's pass, bootlegs, anything like that. If you got a good tight end, especially a guy that can go out and routes and he can block, I mean, you got to feed him the rock.
Absolutely. And Fitzpatrick fit right in as well. Brock Bowers obviously is the number one guy, but you know, Fitzpatrick, I thought had a really good game from the tight end position, blocked really well all night, ran some good routes. We just missed him on a few plays that would have been really big plays. The interception that he had the guy beat, he was in space. JT just threw it really late. And hung it up there a little bit for that DB to come over and pick it off. But, you know, I thought it was the right decision, just a bad throw and bad, you know, late timing. But, you know, overall this offense, I give it an A for the night. I mean, just making plays all over the place. And it helped that Arch Manning was sitting right there in the end zone, seeing all of this and seeing that we're not just a grunt and punt team anymore. We're going to spread it out. We're going to go tempo. We're going to distribute the rock all over the place, and we're going to be aggressive, and we're going to push the ball down the field. We're going to push the ball in the tight windows. Then we're going to cram it down your throat. Then we're going to run play action, take a shot. And then we're going to do it all over again. And we're going to do it with speed. And that was good for him to see, him and his dad Cooper to see, because you know, the Manning family's evaluating all of that stuff when they look at different programs. So, you know, Ole Miss is definitely going to get a good look from the Mannings, obviously. But, you know, I think Georgia really, really made a name for themselves in the race for Arch Manning.
Man, I tell you what, I've seen a lot of big time recruits in my life, but I've never seen a big time recruit like this. You think that this kid was like the kid president. I mean, he had everybody and their mama around him.
Yep.
I mean, he had like little mini bodyguards and things. I know he had a couple of teammates there with him as well. Yep. But I mean, the spotlight on this kid is absolutely, and he could care less. The kid wants to play football. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that just comes from having a family that's, you know, all about business. You know, and this was a business trip. He wanted to see how it was going to be. He wanted to see where are you going to throw the ball downfield? That's what they do. You know, that's what he's been growing up doing. That's what he's been growing up seeing, you know? So I think Georgia put on a great show for him. Not only that, but the light show as well was absolutely amazing too.
Absolutely.
So, I was going to ask you about our that. Defense. Oh my God. Our defense.
So I got to ask you, Israel, does Jordan Davis move as fast in real life as he does on TV, or as it seems?
You ever seen somebody who's scared of bugs run from a bug?
Yeah.
Like, if you're scared of spiders, you know, when people see spiders, like, they run really fast. That's what he looks like. He looks like he's scared to death and he's running. This kid, I mean, at 300 pounds and can move the way he does, absolutely amazing. And to see them in person, oh, my God.
350 pounds. Yeah.
Walker, N'Kobe Dean, Kendrick, even Kendrick, Keeley, all them guys, they are humongous. You know, they made little boys out there playing now. There's a grown man out there playing. They were thumping South Carolina.
Yeah, I saw a few really big hits, and I was impressed by that Lewis scene, obviously. Could you hear when he hit that guy? Did it ring throughout the stadium?
Yes, yes. And then one thing that, like Amir Speed earlier, you know, one thing that I loved about him, he didn't give up. You know, he was beat on the play. He wasn't ready. You know, they just threw a deep ball up. All right, cool. Comes back, knocks the kid out. I mean, you know, they played hard the whole game. I mean, Ringo, all those guys, I mean, they played hard the entire game. And that's what you want. It's the old junkyard defense, a whole lot of GATA, and they came and got them some Saturday night.
Absolutely, man. And I love the fight in them, because most of the time you get beat over the top, man, that you're done. Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of corners, a lot of premier corners and a lot of premier programs are done when that happens. Mm-hmm. But these guys just have some sort of competitive edge. It's funneling from Kirby to Lanning to Coach Adai throughout their position groups and the position room. And it's just one of those things where, hey man, you get beat, it's okay. Go get the next one and go make a play. Mm-hmm. Just go play hard and see what happens. You know, it's a whole lot of this, right? It's a whole lot of that. And that message can't be any more clear just watching this defense play.
Exactly. And one thing I also noticed, because, you know, as a coach, you know, I want to see how everything goes. Every coach is coaching. Every coach is on the sideline hollering and screaming. Every coach is banging their on the field about to get a penalty, you know, things like that. So, I mean, it's not like Coach Lanning is just calling the plays every single time. Mm-hmm. They're out there coaching. They're coaching their tails off. Our D-line coach is out there just going off. When Davis made a play or anybody else made a play up front, he's the first person out there on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, when Walker comes up and hits the kid dead in the chest, I mean, linebackers coach, I mean, Lanning's the first one out there. Kirby's the first one out there. Even Muschamp is out there getting fist pumps. I mean, it is an all-around effort on both sides of the ball, and those coaches are doing a heck of a job with this football team right now.
One of the things I saw on TV, and I don't know if you really saw it in the stands or if it was one of those things that was noticeable, but there was a call where Lanning was making a call and Kirby jumped in and started saying something, and Lanning like waved him off, said like, "Get back, you know, focus on me." And I thought Kirby was going to come unglued, and he didn't. And I was like, "Oh wow, okay, here we go." So yeah, I was like, damn, the ball's on this guy.
You kind of can't see it. I actually watched the game yesterday. I watched TV cut because I recorded it. We can't see it because they got the screen, you know, up, so people can't see those signals or whatnot. But I saw that. I literally saw that yesterday. And, you know, as a coordinator, you know, like me, my head coach is an offensive guy. So, you know, sometimes he's in my ear and I'm like, "Coach, I got it. You know, like as a coordinator, you're in your zone. You know, you're trying to figure out the best matchup. You're trying to get the call in. You know, sometimes you want to hear that. You're like, "Coach, leave me alone. I got it." So I think it's one of those situations. And then as a coach, you don't take that personally. You know, you're like, "Coach, I'm in the heat of battle. I'm trying to go to work," you know. And if anybody understands that, Kirby Smart understands, because he worked for one of the biggest defensive coordinators in Nick Saban at Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And he's the first non-NFL guy to have a NFL Films documentary about him. So, I mean, he spent a little bit of time in the NFL, but I mean, he, not a ton.
Does it really count?
No, it doesn't. And speaking of Nick Saban, that was a pretty interesting game there. As we put a bow on Georgia, South Carolina, what a performance. South Carolina has a lot of, they've done a lot of improving from week one. And they're on the up and up. Georgia, obviously, to me, Georgia's number one team in the country, but the team that is currently sitting in the number one spot, according to the polls, Alabama took on Florida. That game was lots of fun to watch. It was one of those games where early on Bama got up 21-3 and I thought, "Here we go. Another Bama blowout. Here we go." And Florida kept fighting. They kept in it. And what I was surprised is that Florida, I'm not surprised, they probably should have been doing this all year long, but they finally got the running back involved with Malik Davis. And Emory Jones had a really good day rushing the ball. Still terrible passer. But I guess in the category of moral victories, if you're a Florida fan, you're happy. But, man, you had Alabama on the ropes there at the end. Maybe, you know, they just couldn't finish them. But that was a really good game. Showed that Bama was mortal. Showed that Florida was a little bit better than we thought. But, you know, either way, Florida was going to be – that was going to be a tough game, no matter how you slice it and dice it. But did you get a chance to watch that one at all?
I haven't gotten a chance to watch the whole thing. I kind of saw a couple of highlights from it. One thing that it showed me is that, one, that Alabama's mortal. You know, they can be beat. And, two, they're getting a little bit complacent over there in Alabama. One thing that Nick Saban said all last week and the week before that, these guys think that they've arrived. And guess what? You went up 21-3, and then you kind of laid down for a little while. And guess what? Florida was like, "We're at home. We're in the swamp. you ain't just finna blow us out."
you can't give them a shred of a reason. The crowd was out of it. The crowd was silent. You can't give them any reason to get back in the game. Cause once the swamp gets going, it's tough, man.
Exactly. It's just like when we play, you know, when Georgia, Florida plays, if you take one crowd out, it's ball game, you know, but one thing that I did learn, this is going to set up for a great matchup in Jacksonville.
Always is.
Real, real soon.
Always is. Rarely has that game been just a ho-hum game. It's always a war down there. So that'll be a fun one to preview. And we got to get Ben. We got to get your cousin Ben on here for that week.
Most definitely.
Go ahead and start making the inroads now so that you can get them wrapped up. So that way, you know, at Thanksgiving when you're having turkey legs and dressing and you know, whatever else you have at Thanksgiving, the sweet potato souffle and all the sweet tea and all the fixins and everything that you have that you gluttonize over on Thanksgiving, you and Ben, hopefully you have the upper hand, not Ben, in the discussion of the cocktail party. So but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, Bama looked mortal. They got complacent. I mean, to me, it just shows that even Bama can't lose all of that talent. They lost, what, 5 first rounders and 2 second rounders off of that offense alone. And they lost 7 draft picks off that offense. Like, you can't do that.
And you expect can't to, do that. And expect to
perform.
Winning.
Yeah. Except to perform at that high level. I mean, their defense is pretty good. But they had a hard time stopping the run, which is, that's concerning if I'm Alabama.
Yeah, that's usually that they're strong for. They usually do a great job of stopping the run. So I actually recorded that one as well. So I'll probably watch that one tomorrow at some point. It was some great ball games this weekend. But the Dogs won. That's all I care about. The Dogs won.
Dogs
I was
won.
There to see it in person. I love seeing that sea of red in that stadium Saturday night.
Absolutely, man. And it was a good thing it was a night game because you were able to get up there. So anything else from week 3 that surprised you that you want to briefly touch on?
Nothing really. It was just some really good Stanford and Vandy game kind of surprised me a little bit. You know, I thought Stanford, after putting a whooping on USC, would come out and be a little bit stronger against Vandy. But I tell you what, Vandy put up a heck of a fight.
Vandy put a heck of a fight, but Stanford ended up overwhelming them on that. So, cool. So let's get into Vandy. We got our week 3 matchup here in Nashville. We have some birthday festivities going on for Huck, so I probably will not be going to that game. But it is a game that for Vandy, obviously, the expectations are keep playing hard, keep getting better. Figure out, you know, watch what South Carolina did well, which for Vandy, Ken Seals and that wide receiver core, that's something that they can probably have a little bit of success on, is getting the ball out on the perimeter and getting the ball over the top and taking shots in some of these matchups. But the offensive line for Vandy, that's going to be a concern. And I listen to Believe in Vandy, my guy Matt DePerkins and Ryan Seymour. They're on that show, and I've heard Seymour go off on that offensive line week after week after week. Let's just say they're going to have a hard time blocking this defense. But is there anything in your mind, having watched Vandy a little bit, and obviously watching the Dogs, is there anything that Vandy can do to cover this 34.5 point spread?
That would be stretch the field. If they can stretch the field on us and actually get the pass off, you know, that could pose a problem for us for just a little while. Yeah. But that's really the only thing I see. We're going to stop the run. South Carolina couldn't even – they maybe had 50 yards rushing. I could be wrong, but just from watching it, they maybe had 50 yards rushing. That's just off the penalties. Nobody's really been able to run the ball on us. So I doubt that Vandy will. If their offensive line is struggling, like you say, they definitely won't be able to run the ball against us. The only way they can beat us is to throw the forward pass. And, well, you got a lot of heat coming at you if you try to do that. And with a young line, an inexperienced line that Vandy has, it's not going to be a pretty night for the quarterback. If I were them, I'd try some rollouts, some sprint outs, you know, things like that, quick passes to get the ball out of his hands.
in tempo. I would try to move with some tempo and just try to, because you're not running the ball, that's for sure. But I would try some tempo there for if I'm Van Ninja, like
but
you said.
But one thing I do know, after Georgia got burned on that one tempo play, it didn't happen again. And I guarantee you that's been a focal point at practice this week. Tempo, get yourself lined up. And even if the call's not in, you know, most coaches, you know, defensive guys that I know especially, if it's a tempo play, then you automatically just go to the last call that you just had, or you just go like base, your base defense, and you just run that. So I guarantee you they got that fixed this week. So even with tempo, yeah, I bet Vandy, look, I mean, they're coming. Them dogs are hungry. Mm-hmm. And one thing about now, Georgia can't play to the level of the competition, because no matter who you play or where you play them at, Vandy's going to play hard against you. Mm-hmm. Vandy's one of those pesky teams as well that if you slip up and make it a ball game, they're going to keep it close.
I've seen it plenty of times, go up there, sleepwalk, and come out of there with a 2-point win or God forbid, a loss. So, you know, it's one of those games they have to come in, dominate early, get in, get out, get the victory, and let's go home and get ready for Arkansas. So
exactly,
you know, I think that, you know, when you look at it for Georgia's defense, if they want to stop any threat, just hit the quarterback repeatedly, stop the run, and be ready for tempo, which I think all of the check marks are going to check off there for this offense. I think just stick with the same game plan, tempo, take shots, run the ball. I think you're going to have a little bit more success running the ball. South Carolina was surprisingly good or better than I thought they were going to be defending the run. So the backs didn't quite have the field day that I was expecting. Not to say that I was disappointed, just to say that, you know, we were able to hurt them through the air. Some of the big plays kind of limited our play count, but, I'll take that any day of the week and twice on Sunday. So, but when you look at this game plan, it's going to be take some shots over the top, continue to feed Brock Bowers, get James Cook, Zamir, McIntosh, Milton involved in the game plan. Each guy had over 6 yards per carry with their attempts. So that was good to see. But, you know, just keep this offense humming like it has been, and, you know, just keep rolling, man. And I think it's going to be good.
Exactly. The main thing for here, don't out-coach yourself. And call plays that we know that we can execute well. You know, this is one of those games to where if you turn the ball over, it's going to be a long night for you. So although it is Vandy and they're not very good this year, I mean, they're going to play hard against Georgia. Because what better way to shock the world is to knock off the number one team in the nation at home in Nashville. You know, so the first thing that can hurt you offensively, turn the ball over. Turn the ball over and don't execute.
Win of the century right there.
Yep. So, like I say, you can't play to the level of your opponent, and you can't underestimate your opponent as well. Let's just go out here, take care of business, get back on our flight or our bus, and go back home and get ready for Arkansas.
Absolutely, and I think that's the biggest key. And let's get away injury free, and let's do it. So, you know, I think when you get. And honestly, I think a lot of these injuries have been a blessing in disguise, because Justin Robinson and Donnie Mitchell have been guys that have been able to get some reps and get some game reps. So I'm excited about that. But also some news, Israel, on the injury front is George Pickens is out running and doing some non-contact football drills.
I saw that. You know, he was on the sideline, him and Washington. And who else was it? I thought that's our pool. Which we get pool back a little bit sooner than we expected. So we'll have him back for Auburn.
Yeah.
It was only 4 games now. So we should have him back for the Auburn game. I saw those 3 guys on the sideline on Saturday. Pickens looks good. He had been skipping the weight room. Washington is all of 6,000-7,000 feet tall. So
yeah, he looked like an NBA player, right?
Man, he is a huge kid. He's a big, beautiful kid too. So, you never know. I mean, we got some of the best doctors, you know, you could think of. Oh, and, you know, prayers go out to the South Carolina guy. That ankle did not look pretty. I watched it on TV yesterday, and it definitely looked worse in person.
Yeah.
So, you know, hope for a speedy recovery for him. But at the same time, at Georgia, you know, we got the best doctor in the nation in Ron Corson. So you better believe that if Nick Chubb can come back, quicker than he was supposed to. Then after an ACL injury and rehab that Pickens is going, I wouldn't be surprised to see him back this year, or at least by the time both season comes around, especially if we're in the semifinals.
Exactly. But if we're making a playoff run, I think George Pickens is there. But also, Nick Chubb is a freak of nature. So I don't hold any sort of rehab program. I don't compare it to Nick Chubb because he's a freak of nature. And he's just, I don't know that Nick Chubb is a human at this point. I think he was sent from the planet Krypton to play for the Cleveland Browns. So, but yeah, no, in all seriousness, they did that facility tour on Twitter with your boy Josh Brooks, and oh my God, man, like you see pictures of the facility, you see snapshots of it, you know, it's impressive, but like seeing him walk through it on video, I just like, oh my God, man, like to see some of the intricate details of like the 24,000 square foot weight room, like 50 something racks or something like that, is insane.
Man, let me tell you something. That place is absolutely amazing. And then not just the weight room, but you have a training room that Ron Corson designed himself. And they put every single thing that he wanted in that weight room. I mean, in that training room. And you got to think the recovery time. You got to understand something. These kids are playing ball. They're going to class. They're eating and they're playing ball and they're recovering. Yeah. So, man, that place is absolutely – their seats or their in their locker are like, I mean, what are what's that car? The new Wagoneer. I mean, them things are nice. Boy. Yes. The only thing I said was that they should have had the beds like LSU. I was kind of jealous of that part.
Yeah,
they didn't have the beds like LSU.
Yeah, but, hey, I'll take it, right? So yeah. a few other news and notes. Have you seen the 2022 schedule?
We opened up with Oregon.
Yeah. Talk about not being scared, man.
Man, we ain't running from nobody.
No, man. It's and it's still weird seeing Tennessee in November and Auburn in October. I just can't. I can't. That's just tough for me.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. You still have to play LSU and Ole Miss and Arkansas. So, I mean, did you really win?
Exactly, right. No, you didn't. You know. No. But our crossover game is Mississippi State. Obviously, the Auburn is the other crossover game. But right now, Mississippi State is the crossover until Texas and Oklahoma come in and ruin the whole schedule there. Also, some a note on Broderick Jones. Not sure what's going on right now. He's just not quite ready offensive line wise. There's going to be some shuffling going on here in the near future. I think they're playing well, but I just have that sneaky suspicion that their best combination has yet to pop. And for whatever reason, sometimes that happens when you have young guys, especially at that position. But Broderick Jones is coming along. He's playing better. He's improving with some of the reps that he's got, but I think ultimately he's going to be the guy. At left tackle, and I think Sawyer at some point needs to be inside because I think that's what's going to be best for this offensive line.
Yeah, you know we're doing a good job right now. You know, and usually when you're doing a good job, you don't want to break up the bunch, especially with the injury that we had. So right now I'm not panicking with that. I think you got to take your lumps right now. They're gelling really well, as a matter of fact. Just from an eye view, from what I saw from being in the stands on Saturday, they're gelling really well. They're communicating well, so I wouldn't try to break the bunch up right now. Just kind of work them, make sure they get better, and you know, have about two or three ready to go just in case you need to throw one out there.
Absolutely. And with 14 catches and 203 yards on this young season, Brock Bowers has the most receiving yards for a tight end since your boy, Isaac Nada, and also Orson Charles, which really probably is your boy, with 574. So he is, he's sitting there in good shape. Georgia's ranked fifth nationally in third down conversions, 22 for 38. 57% clip, and Bulldogs are tied for fourth nationally with 13 sacks, which not surprised at all,
man,
in the least bit.
Watch them boys. And, Them boys come off the ball now.
Were you sore after that game? Like just watching and sympathy beating?
I wanted to like go and pick up all the quarterbacks in South Carolina and be like, man, it's okay. I understand.
Yeah.
If there's anything that I learned, if you listen to Coach Beamer's press conference when they asked him what gave you fits from the Georgia defense, he's like, what do you want me to do?
They have 105 stars over there, man. What's going on here? He recruits well. What do you want me to say? I love the honesty, man. I love the honesty.
He said, the one that got me is he said, Jordan Davis runs faster than all of us that's on this conference call right now.
That cracked me up, man. I love that.
That's the one that got me. And he was brutally honest. And I mean, you know, he knows that, you know, they were in for a whooping and they took one and they took it and they played hard the whole game. So I think he's doing a great job over there right now. Because we know they would have quit, you know, a while back, but they kept fighting.
They did.
So he's leading them in the right direction.
He is. And I think the culture's right. And that's the thing you got to fix. So, wanted to mention some exciting news. Our podcast is partnering with playactionpools.com to bring some interactive fun for the sport that we love the most. You're going to be able to get in on the action with our playactionpools.com football pick'em challenge, which is open to everyone. Here's how it works. You're going to sign up for our contest, Believe Football Pick'em at playactionpools.com. Then you're going to get your picks in each week. We're going to select the 10 highest profile games of the week between NFL and college football. Whoever gets the most picks correct each week will win a pair of electric sunglasses, which is actually, I just learned, is a brand, and a pair of DC shoes. So you get a pair of sunglasses and a pair of shoes. Go to playactionpools.com and sign up for the contest Believe. That's BLEAV football pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contest, go to playactionpools.com today. They've got survivors, pick'em, and as well as a cool sports book style concept called Build Your Bankroll. Can't wait to explore that. That's going to be fun. Playactionpools.com, your new home for all your office sports pools, man. So speaking of that, let's get into our picks, man. Let's do a little bit of review here. We both picked the dogs, did not cover. South Carolina got the backdoor cover. That's not ideal. I took the L on Miami. You called Sparty. Well done. I'll never pick Miami ever again. You took Nebraska. So you're smarter than me. I don't know what you saw in them, but you saw something. Congratulations. Oh, you laid a big egg. I thought Nebraska was cooked. We both picked Bama, took the L on that one. We both picked Penn State. I knew they had something. I knew Auburn was going to put up a fight. It was going to be a fun game. That was a fun game, by the way. Lots of fun. We said it was going to come down to Bo Nix, and it did. And, you know, he just couldn't quite get him there. Both picked Stanford. They covered. Both picked BYU. They won. That was a really good game there, beating Arizona State. The Buffs, no idea if the Buffaloes, no idea if we hit that one or not. I'll be honest with you. Let's see. Colorado football. I'm going to look that up. Who'd they play? They played Minnesota. They played Minnesota? They did play Minnesota.
That sounds right.
Yeah, they got crushed. 30-0. Brutal.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Buffs struggling.
The Buffs, man. Not ideal for us. And then Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati won, right? Cincinnati football. Let's see what they did. They beat Indiana. So the newest Big 12 member beat Indiana. So that makes you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And 1, 2, 3. You were 6-3 on the week. I was 1, 2, 3, 4. I was 4-6. No, I was 4-5, actually. I was 4-5 on the week. So should have had more faith in Nebraska, but brutal. Okay. I will try to make up some ground on you this week. So
what we got?
We got some interesting matchups here. We got a few conference games that's going to be interesting, and we also got a couple of non-conference games. First one is going to be out of conference. Notre Dame travels to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is 5.5-point favorites at Kent Randall. What do you think?
I'm taking Notre Dame.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, after watching the Florida State game and seeing how quickly they were able to score, and then seeing what Florida State has done since, and seeing how they struggled, they got to a slow start against Purdue. I think they ended up pulling away a little bit. They really haven't impressed me, but neither has Wisconsin. So I think when you deal with a 5.5-point spread with two teams that are fairly equal, I think this is going to be a touchdown game. I'm going to take Notre Dame as well. I hope I'm wrong on this one, because I do like watching Wisconsin, but I hope I'm wrong here. But I'm going to go with the Irish. Our next game is basically a pick 'em at 2.5 points. Mizzou is the road favorite at Boston College. What we know about an SEC-ACC matchup this year is the ACC has not been much of a match, except for obviously Georgia-Clemson. That was two highly ranked teams. But when NC State came to Starkville, it was brutal. And BC is kind of similar to NC State. How do you see this one?
Man, this is definitely a pick 'em. Mizzou hadn't really impressed me this year either, though. I'm going to go with the Eagles on this one. I'm going to go Boston College.
Okay. I'm going with Mizzou. I think Mizzou had some fight in them against Kentucky. They were getting blown out. They came back almost, they made it a game. Made it interesting. I think Connor Bazelak is he's quietly becoming one of the top passers in the SEC. I think he's going to show out against BC in College Hill. So that's where I'm going. The next game is also a pick 'em, which is surprising given the state that state is in. LSU travels to Starkville. They're 2.5-point favorites against the mighty Bulldogs, the fighting leeches of Mississippi State. It's basically a pick 'em. This one's a tough one. So you're gonna have to stroke your beard and try to figure this one out. How do you see it?
I think I'm gonna have to go with the Tigers on this one. I think they'll have enough to shut the passing game down for Mississippi State. Mississippi State struggling a little bit in the passing game area. I think they're having some protection problems up front. One thing I do know is LSU's front four are pretty good. So I think I'm going to go with the Tigers on this one.
Mississippi State's a roller coaster ride. For some reason, this is going to be a game that they're super, super enthusiastic about. You're zigging, I'm zagging, I'm taking the Bulldogs. I think they're going to pull it off again. Mike Leach just has. I think this is going to be the final nail. There's something to that turmoil thing in LSU, and things are getting weird down there. Next game, this is a really, really fun contest. Texas A&M, 5.5-point favorites on the road at Arkansas. This is a scary game. If I'm A&M, What do we think here?
I'm thinking Arkansas is about to monkey stomp Texas A&M. Texas A&M can't even get the snap off.
No, they can't.
And have you seen Arkansas play lately?
Oh my God.
They are legit.
This is not good for us coming into next week. We better have our P's and Q's. We better dot our I's, cross our T's. We got to have a good game plan. That's going to be a cold tub game for everyone that Arkansas plays, man. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. I'm taking the Hogs, man. I'm guessing you are too.
I'm taking the Hogs. And where they play at?
At Fayetteville.
It's in Fayetteville too, at the Walmart Stadium of the World. I'm taking the Hogs.
Yeah, I'm taking the Hogs, man. This is gonna. Ooh, man. Ooh, pick suey. Yeah, KJ Jefferson. I think is getting better each week. He's started out as the Western Division's Emory Jones, where he's a good runner, not an accurate passer at all. He's getting better. You know, the Kendall Browell system is really, really making him look a lot better. So I'm taking Arkansas here. Woo, pick suey. All right. Our next game is an ACC matchup. A team that I thought would contend for the division would the Atlantic or Coastal or whatever the hell division Clemson and NC State is in. But Clemson comes to Raleigh as 10-point favorites on the road. Clemson's struggling to score some points, man. They 14 to 8 against Georgia Tech. What's going on with Clemson? Are you buying them?
The only reason I'm buying them is because they're really good on defense. So I'm going to take Clemson in this one. I think their defense is really good. I think they can squeak out a touchdown and a field goal to win it. So I'm going to take Clemson with this one.
Every fiber in my body wants to take NC State in the 10-point spread here.
It did. But I think about Clemson on defense. Mm-hmm. Clemson's defense is really, really good.
I think back to that Mississippi State game, and I can't pick NC State. So I'm going with Clemson here, minus 10. I think they cover. I think Clemson has a bounce back game. I think they're going to be done struggling. The whole weather delay thing was weird, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that one. If they let me down this week, Clemson, I'm done with you. Our next matchup, Pac-12, got Stanford on the card 2 weeks in a row. Don't think that's ever happened in show history. But UCLA minus 5.5 on the road in Palo Alto. UCLA, a big loss to Fresno State last week. Knocked a little bit of shine off the Bruins. Are you buying Stanford? Can they win this game?
Can they? Yes. Will they? Doubtful. I think UCLA comes out with a vengeance this week. Fresno State, they must have put some Michael Jordan juice in their Gatorade before the game. They came out and put it on UCLA. So I think UCLA is going to bounce back, because just after watching Stanford last week against Vandy struggle for a little bit, I think they were still riding high off that USC mm-hmm. game. So I think UCLA is going to have a point to prove, and I think they come away with a victory here.
I agree with you, man. I think it's going to be hard. I think it'd be hard pressed to see UCLA drop two in a row like that. This bodes well for Fresno State. I think Fresno State's one of the better mm-hmm. Group of five teams here, and they're probably going to eventually end up in the Pac-12. But had a really good showing against Oregon. Disappointed that they didn't get it, so they went ahead and just went and picked off UCLA. But I think the Bruins are going to win this one, and I think they're going to win it pretty good. I think they're going to do to Stanford what Stanford did to Vandy. So that's how I see that. What used to be an incredible SEC matchup has now become a pretty large point spread. But a team that we were fairly impressed with last week in the Gators, they host a team that plays hard, but just can't seem to have enough gas to make these scores close. But they did win 56-0 over Tennessee Tech, which I don't know if Tennessee scored 56 points all of last year. So anytime they can get into 50 burgers, it's good news. But Tennessee goes to the Swamp, 20-point dogs. Can they cover? Florida's had a hard time covering spreads, especially when they're the favorites.
I'm going to take Tennessee. I don't think they get beat by 20.
Okay. I hope Tennessee wins outright. I don't think they will, but I'm also going to take the Vols plus 20.
If Emory Jones is the quarterback, Florida won't win by 20.
Yeah, I just have a hard time believing Florida's going to score. Because I think Tennessee's going to score in the 17 to 20 range. So that's going to mean Florida's going to put up a 40 burger. And I think Tennessee's going to – they're going to be stingy a little bit early. So Florida's going to have a hard time scoring early. They might push this lead late, but I could also see this thing going back and forth for a little while, and that's going to when you're dealing with a big point spread, having it go back and forth for a little while does not bode well for you. If anything, Florida gets a late cover, but no risk it, no biscuit, right?
That's it.
Bruce Arians' greatest quote: "No risk it, no biscuit." Give me the Vols plus 20. And last and certainly not least, Kentucky travels to South Carolina, 5.5-point favorites, struggling mightily right now. Will Levis is leading the conference in turnovers. Kentucky has a -6 turnover margin, 8 giveaways to 2 takeaways. Not a good stat if you're looking at that. It's brutal. A team that looked good early, has tailed off since. Does South Carolina get the upset here?
No, I don't think they do. They're starting a brand new quarterback, which, you know, it's not a brand new quarterback. It's actually the quarterback they wanted to start, but he was hurt. But you know what? I'm going to take South Carolina in this one. I'm going to do it. One thing I did see last week is that that defense is pretty stingy now. They had what, two, three takeovers against us. I know two picks. I can't remember if they had anything else, but that defense plays hard. And if Kentucky's struggling, like you're saying, they're struggling, they're going to throw at least two against South Carolina because they do. Their defensive backs are really good at South Carolina. You better believe they're going to be well coached at South Carolina this week. I'm pretty sure he fixed everything that happened to him last week. And it sounds like Kentucky's real predictable right now. If you're throwing eight picks or you've turned the ball over eight times, you're real predictable in things that you're doing.
So
either that or your quarterback's just not ready. You probably need to look at making a change.
I don't know if they're I think it's a scheme thing. And dadgummit, I had my pick written down and you convinced me. I don't want to say dadgummit because you probably convinced me. Judging by your picks last week, I should be listening to you. So you convinced me to take South Carolina. Dadgummit, I'm going to take them. All right. I was impressed. Josh Van, they're going to feed him early and often. Their defensive line is pretty good. They play hard. They're going to hang with Kentucky. And I think if they're hanging with Kentucky late, they have a chance to win it. And I think that if it's close late, South Carolina's going to outright win this thing.
Here's the thing, though. If South Carolina's defense can stay off the field, they'll win this ballgame. Mark my words. If the offense is just keep the defense, if you can just flip field position, South Carolina has a good chance of winning this ballgame Saturday night.
Yeah, they got to make Kentucky drive on that. All right. So, but our big timer has gone off. It's even like getting into the scroll of bigtimer.net and just every different way you can advertise bigtimer.net. So that's going to do it for us. Hopefully we go undefeated. Well, we're not going to go. Both of us aren't going to go undefeated because we have different picks, but that's okay. But we are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. Find us anywhere you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, wherever it is that you like to listen to your podcast, you can probably find us there. Subscribe, comment, leave a rating, do all that good stuff. Catch us on the podcast version. If you're driving, it's great for long drives, especially if you're going from South Georgia to Athens, or if you're going from anywhere to Nashville to catch the game, you can check us out there. You can also watch us on YouTube at work, Brinks TV. You can find us here, big time. Our social media stuff has been scrolling. So hopefully you've been seeing that and hopefully you give us a follow. We're very active on Twitter, Israel more so than me, but we are, that's what we do, man. That's how we roll. And it's been a fun ride. It's going to continue to be a fun ride. And hopefully this is the fastest growing Georgia show in the market. And I think it will be because we are unique. So that being said, we are presented by betonline.ag. We are presented by playactionpools.com. We hope that you have a great week and an even better weekend. And if you're in Nashville, travel safe, be safe, enjoy Nashville, come say hi to me, and we'll chop it up and hopefully lead the Dogs to a win. I want to wish my son Huck a very, very happy sixth birthday. He celebrates that, and he's going to have a lot of fun doing that. So for Israel Troop, I am Corey Burton. This is the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast presented by BetOnline and PlayActionPools.com and brought to you on Brinks TV as well. Thank you. Good night. And of course, go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.